Jimmy Edwards and Dick Bentley are back with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, the Polka Dots, and the BBC Review Orchestra, all inviting you to Take It From Here.
Now, Jimmy, I still can't make up my mind about the opening production for the Richard Bentley Theatre. Now, should I appear in farce or should I appear in heavy drama?
Well, if you appear in heavy drama, it'll be a farce anyway.
What about crime?
Yes, it'll be a crime too, you're quite right.
No, I meant something like The Mousetrap.
But you couldn't afford to commission Agatha Christie to write your play.
Oh, I know that. That's why I've commissioned Gertrude Fidget.
Gertrude Fidget?
Yes.
Who on earth is she?
Well, surely you've seen those paperback novels on the bookstores.
Yes.
You know, the ones with the scantily dressed blonde standing over a body with a smoking revolver in her hand.
Well, I've seen them, but I always thought that was the chief edition of the Iliad.
Well, it isn't. Yes, well, generally it is. But otherwise, it's likely to be a novel by a Gertrude Fidget.
I must say, she sounds delightful. I'd like to meet her.
You can. She's here.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Miss Fidget. Gertrude?
He's just coming, Mr. Bentley.
Gertrude, I'd like you to meet Jimmy Edwards.
Oh, you'd make a lovely corpse.
Thank you very much. Very kind of you.
Well, now, Mr. Bentley, I've written your play for you. Here's the manuscript.
Oh, thank you, yes. What's this? The Corpse Wore Tails.
Oh, Bentley, no doubt you're going to play the title role, are you?
Oh, no, good heavens, no. I see Mr. Bentley as a young and personable detective.
You don't see too well, do you?
Jimmy, I was hoping you'd appear in this play with me.
Well, of course I will. I'm amenable. It is a good part.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm sure there will be. Gertrude, would you outline the plot for us?
Well, I'll try. It's about this tough young detective who's protecting this wealthy, beautiful blonde.
Well, I'm not going to shave off my moustache for anybody, I can tell you.
Yeah, well, I suppose she could have a moustache. You know? I don't know.
Edward,
go on, Fidget.
You will be playing the part of Lord Mandible.
Mandible?
Yes, it's a good, meaty part. You read some, Mr. Edwards. You'll find that it's your part that makes the play.
Oh, well, yes, but here you are, Jimmy. Now, here's your first speech. It's Act 1, page 3. Go on, have a bash.
Right, I'll read this part, then. Here we go, then. Stand back, Grimsdyke! You'll never get away with it! Ooh! Ah! Ooh! Ah! Ooh! Ah!
Very good.
Ooh!
Very good. Yes. Yes. Don't.
You're feeling in that one, there.
Train yourself. You're at a tricky age. Now, be careful now. Well, here you are again on page 16.
Right, I'll read my part on page 16.
Yes.
Ah! We meet again, Grimsdyke. You will never get away with it. Ooh! Ah! Ooh! Ah! Ooh! Ah! Ooh! Ah!
Yes, and then...
Wait a minute. I missed out on ooh.
Ooh! Now, Mr. Bentley, Mr. Edwards, we come to my favorite piece in the whole play. It's in the last act where the inspector, that's you, Mr. Bentley.
Yes.
Now, you explain how you arrived at the solution. Now, just read it here from the top of page 38,
Will you give me a cue, Jimmy?
Right now. How did you track down the criminal, Inspector?
Well, do you remember when Max and the Duchess went to Peter's place? Sergeant Jenkins and I followed them, and standing outside the Golden Anchor was Heinrich, Alfonso, and Ursula. They tipped me off about the missing El Greco, and that tied in with the waltzing Cocker Spaniel. A telegram to Leblanc of the Sûreté brought me the information about the ventriloquist dummy, and I soon had Jacques and the pudding under lock and key. Then, Lord Mandeville, all the pieces fitted together.
There's still one thing that puzzles me, Inspector.
What's that?
Who did it?
The Count Nikolaevich.
Count Nikolaevich? How did you deduce that?
He confessed.
Oh. Fiendishly clever, Inspector, it says here.
Bravo.
Thank you, baby.
Bravo. What do you think, Mr. Bentley?
Frankly, I don't think so. It isn't us.
Oh. Well, it isn't me anyway. After all, the whole thing's a bit confusing, isn't it?
Oh, well, yes, but it's supposed to be. You see, it is a whodunit.
It may be a whodunit, but one thing is certain. Whoever done it, it won't be us. Oh.
Now we welcome the polka dots.
It's April in Paris. Chestnuts in blossom. Holiday tables under the trees. April in Paris. This is a feeling.
Present our newspaper of the air, the Sunday Times. As usual, first with the news. Take this week's front page story.
Bank suffers big loss.
Last night, Mr. Alfred Bank was locked in a Turkish bath.
Full of interesting features, such as Good Food Guide by Greedy Guts.
If you enjoy a really good wine, then you should try the Majestic Restaurant. You'll find plenty to whine about there.
Films by Gilles Lejeune.
Really, the acoustics in some cinemas are quite shocking. Last week in the Regal, Leicester Square, I completely missed the end of one thrilling love scene. I just couldn't hear what the couple behind was saying.
Motoring Notes by Big Ed.
I've just heard about a wonderful new gadget for motorists that helps to get rid of that noise in the back of your car. It's a little pad that just fits over her mouth.
And so to our main feature. And this week we bring you a true story, more fantastic than any science fiction. The story is so horrific that if any children are listening, we suggest they send their parents to bed. Here is the terrifying story of
The Horrible Thing on the Isle of Wight. What I have to tell you is pretty ghastly. My name, by the way, is Sir Hector Garstairs Tulkerton. That's pretty ghastly for a start. The story began one day last summer when an urgent telephone call was put through to Whitehall. It was Saturday. However, on Monday morning, a picture postcard was received from the Isle of Wight, which said,
Savage sea monster threatening island. Wish you were here.
It was signed, quite simply, Proudfoot, Public Relations Officer. Immediately, the defensive forces of the country swung into action. The Admiralty said,
Nothing to do with us, old boy.
The War Office said,
Sorry, it's not our pigeon.
And the Home Office said,
What a disgusting picture postcard.
Eventually, it was decided that the sea monster came within my province. Well, you see, I'm the scientific advisor to the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries.
And I'm Sir Hector's assistant, Muriel Cartwright. Sir Hector is an eminent authority on fish and is author of such books as The Hake's Progress, A Place in the Sun, and The Prawn Came Up Like Thunder.
Good old Muriel. So the two of us packed our bags and headed for the Isle of Wight.
Sir Hector?
No.
Oh, thank heavens you've arrived. I'm Mervyn Proudfoot.
Now, good. This is my assistant, Muriel Cartwright.
How do you do?
How do you do? All right, Proudfoot. Now then, let's get down to the facts about this strange monster.
Yes. What is this thing like?
I've got the chap outside who actually saw it.
Quite hideous and horrible, I suppose.
Yes, he is, rather. Still, I'll get him in. Come in, Papa.
Oh, it was horrible. Horrible. I've seen it with my own eyes. All scaly and horrible. With six heads, 32 eyes, great big horrible fangs, slimy groping tentacles, a dirty great slivery tail. It's terrifying. The horrible thing at large on the island.
This is incredible. Mr. Proudfoot, does this... Mr. Proudfoot?
I'm under the table.
Mr. Proudfoot, you needn't be frightened. Sir Hector knows what to do, don't you, Sir Hector?
Yes, get under the table with him. What's going to happen then? What's going to happen?
Oh, now don't panic, Mr. Potter. You've been most helpful. I suggest you just return quietly to your dig and have tea.
No. No.
Don't ask me to do that. Not today. I can't. I can't.
Why ever not?
It's kippers for tea. Yes,
no.
Oh, no.
All
right, oh. Dad. Now, Mr. Proudfoot, have you any idea where the thing might be?
Yes, it's down the corridor, second door on the... Oh! Oh, see. Oh, I'm quite right. I see what you mean. Yes. Well, the last report we had, this monster was seen heading for the end of the promenade.
What? Then it must be making for the pier. You don't...
No, don't worry. It won't get on the pier. No animals allowed.
Oh.
Wherever it is, we must act quickly. Sir Hector, what time is it?
4 o'clock.
Oh, tea time.
Oh, really, Muriel? No time for tea. What I need is a double brandy.
You'll find a bottle in the filing cabinet under B.
Splendid. I must make a report to Whitehall and get things organized. I shan't need you, Muriel.
Oh.
Miss Cartwright, perhaps you'd care to join me for afternoon tea. How about the farm cook?
Oh, yes, that would be nice. You'd like a little more tea, Mr. Proudfoot?
Thank you, yes. A pretty fascinating job you have, Miss Cartwright.
Oh, yes, I do enjoy it. Of course, this isn't the first time we've encountered this sort of thing, you know. You would be surprised at the weird things that haven't got into the newspapers. I remember a few years ago, the beast from Virginia Water. It really was rather sickening. It was a green, hairy, two-headed thing made of vegetable matter. I say, you're not eating your tea cake.
No, actually, I'm full up.
You don't know what you're missing. These tea cakes are delicious.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, look! There, peering through the palms. It's the monster.
What? Oh, Miss Cartwright, what are you going to do?
We must go and tell Sir Hector. Sir Hector, we've just seen it. It is pretty ghastly.
And to think that hideous creature should have come to the beautiful Isle of Wight.
Yes, what interests me is its origin. I mean, I wonder where the filthy beast came from.
I shouldn't be surprised if it was born of some.
What's being done, Sir Hector? The country must know.
Don't worry, Muriel. I've alerted Whitehall. There should be something on the 6 o'clock news. Switch on, will you?
It has been reported that a savage sea monster has invaded the Isle of Wight. In view of this, it is feared that tomorrow's yachting regatta may have to be postponed. Here is some more sporting news. Hockey. Miss Angela Bidworthy, the Rutland County...
Look here, Sir Hector. Isn't it about time something was actually done to destroy the creature?
Good heavens, man! I'm doing all I can.
As we know from past experience, normal weapons are just useless.
Yeah.
In cases like this, we have to try and find some
some vegetable substance to which the creature is allergic.
Wait a minute, yes, of course. Allergy. Wait a minute. I think I've got it.
What?
Yes. Now, what do you associate with dead fish? Precisely.
Oh, why didn't we think of it before? A chip gun.
We designed and built our chip gun overnight. We worked devilish fast. And we assembled on the beach at 0800 hours next morning. Proudfoot, did you bring the ammunition?
Yes, sir. I got 6 penny worth of chips with vinegar, of course.
Good. All we can do now is wait. Anyone fancy an early morning dip?
Stand by. Here it comes.
Quick, Proudfoot, the chip belt. Well, here goes.
Well done, sir. He's had his chips.
Well, that's the story. Fantastic as it may seem, every word of it is true. So should any of you be going to the Isle of Wight for your holidays this year, you need have no fear. The horrible thing is dead. Just one word of advice, though. Whatever you do, don't have any fish and chips.
Now, Dick Bentley and June Whitfield open the Take It From Here songbook at the page headed, It All Depends on You. I can be happy, I can be sad.
Who can't?
I can be good, or I can be bad.
What's on your mind?
It all depends on you.
It seems you're in a fog, you really need a dog.
I can be lonely, out in a crowd. I can be humble, I can be proud. It all depends on you.
I'll always be your friend, stand by you to the end.
I can save money,
or spend it,
all right on living,
or ending.
You're to blame, honey,
for
what I do. If there's togetherness, we'll be a big success.
You can be beggar.
I know.
You can be king.
Sure, I can be almost any old thing.
That's better.
It all depends on you.
Along there, gents, Hector Parliament. I suppose you want another one, Mr. Glamour.
What need you ask, Ted? This is my last bob, Ted.
Oh, I'm not surprised. You was going it a bit strong last night, wasn't you? You was. Buying rounds for everybody.
Was I, Ted? I suppose I must have been. I got through a king's ransom, I did. And now I'm reaping what I sowed. I'm in the sludge of this pond, you know. I don't know which way to turn.
You tell us about it then, Mr.
I was going to tell you about it, Teddy. Well, it all started last night.
Oh, Lone. We've been sat here for an hour. But you haven't commented on my appearance.
Now, yeah.
Oh, I was just hours at the hairdresser's. Thought you might have noticed I had a wreath.
I had a bath last Tuesday and you didn't notice. You didn't notice?
Yes, I did notice, Ron.
Oh, yeah. Where did you get the money to go to the hairdresser?
Well, I've had a windfall.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it.
Ron, my endowment policy paid off. £35, Ron. Look, here it is in my handbag.
Oh.
Oh, I've never seen as much money as that since Dad was treasurer of the Christmas Club. You want to be careful, Eph.
Oh, your father's not getting his hands on this.
I didn't mean that, Eph. Look in the paper here. Look, it says a masked bandit held up a supermarket in the high street yesterday and got away with £30.
Well, I'm not frightened, really.
I can hear somebody outside. Perhaps it's the masked bandit. Oh, no, it isn't. It's my dadda.
You know, I'd be happier if it was the masked bandit. If your father knows I've got money, he's bound to want to borrow some. Oh, quick, Ron, help me hide my bag. Quick, down here under the rug.
Yes.
Hello, hello, hello. What are you two doing down there on your hands and knees? Playing up the thimble?
No, Dad, we're just a...
Oh, don't tell him we're hiding my £35.
Come on, come on, come on. What are you doing?
We're not hiding at £35.
Oh, so you'd come into money, yes?
Oh, no, no, not really, Mr. Blum. It's hardly worth mentioning, really. I'd better be going now because my...
You sit down, Apple, my dear. I'll make you a cup of tea. Here, you look uncomfortable with that handbag clutched under your arm. Let me put it in a safe place for you.
Yes, there's a masked bandit about. He held up the supermarket.
Well, there's no need for us to be afraid.
Mr. Glum, stop tugging at my handbag.
Oh, do forgive me. I was helping to relieve you of the weight.
Oh, I know what you're after.
Now, please. I mean, if I wanted to borrow some money from you, I mean, you know me, I'd come right out and ask, blunt.
Oh, would you?
Of course I would. And since you mention it, I wonder if you could possibly oblige me with the convenience of a small temporary investment loan.
That wasn't very blunt, was it? But my answer is no.
No? Oh, if I'm disappointed in you. Ha! More than that, I'm deeply hurt. I thought you loved old Cuddles here.
Who's Cuddles, Dad?
You are, you gawky-looking hotspots.
What's Ron got to do with it? Goes without saying I'd do anything for Ron.
Ah, I'm glad you said that. Much as I hate to, I shall now have to tell you the whole sordid story.
Oh, good. I like stories.
Donald?
Yes?
It's not for your ears. Leave the room. Go and put the cat out.
Yes, Dad. Dad, we haven't got a cat.
Well, put Mrs. Glum out, then.
Now then, Mr. Glum, what's this about?
Oh, what is it, you ask? My darling boy, my baby. Where did I go wrong? What made him do it? Oh, I reproach myself time again. Haven't I been a good father? Oh, woe, oh, woe, woe. Oh, woe.
Mr. Glum, let me know what you're driving at.
Brace yourself, Eph. I have reason to believe that Ron is the masked bandit. There you are, I've said it, and I'm glad.
Ron? The masked bandit? Oh, I don't believe you.
I didn't think you would, but it's the best I could do on the spur of the moment. I mean...
It's not possible, Mr. Glum. Wouldn't do a thing like that.
No, not normally he wouldn't, not normally. But haven't you noticed lately he's been acting strange?
You mean he's developed a sort of split personality?
That's it, yes. He's become a sort of Dr. Jekyll and Wilfred Hyde White. He probably don't even know he does it himself.
Then how do you know, Mr. Glum?
Because he talks in his sleep, and I listen in mine. Oh. You know, only last night, in the still of the night, he cried out in his sleep. I've become a sort of Dr. Jekyll and Wilfred Hyde White, he cried out. I've robbed the supermarket, he cried out.
Did he say anything else?
I was coming to that. He went on, he cried out. If only I hadn't spent the £30. It was £30, wasn't it? That's right. Well, he says, if only I hadn't spent it, he says, I could put that £30 back, he says. He's trying it out, all this. My conscience would be at ease, he says. But at last I spent it, he shouted out.
No, well, there is my endowment money. I suppose I could give it to him.
No, yes. You give that to him. The next minute he'll have another touch of the Wilfrids and... you'll never see it again. Give it to me.
And I, at great personal risk, will return to the scene of the crime and slip the money back in the till.
But I still can't understand why.
Here he comes.
Look at me, Dad.
Ron, what have you got on?
It's the mask. He's wearing the mask.
Oh, I cut it off the back of the cereal packet. Dad?
You can imagine how they must have felt in the supermarket when they saw that suddenly pop up over the prunes.
It's all right, Ron. It's all right. You can take it off now. We know you're the mouse bandit.
No, I'm not. I'm Mickey Mouse.
Very well, you see. He thinks he's Mickey Mouse. It's his personality's splitting again.
Ron, don't you remember robbing the supermarket?
I robbed the supermarket?
You see, as he's confessed.
Yes. Yes, Mr. Glum. Here, take the money.
Oh, hello, Ed. You're around early. It's only 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I know. I had to come round to see if you were all right, Ron. I didn't sleep a wink. Where's your father, Ron?
Well, he went out last night to the supermarket to put the money through the letterbox, and I haven't seen him since.
You mean your father vanished with the money?
Yes. Perhaps the police saw him hanging round the supermarket and ran him in.
Oh, I only hope they did.
Yes, well, you see, the police are always taking Dad in for the night. I think they must like him.
They'll think he's the masked bandit.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, I'd better go down there and tell him it's me. Yes, come on, Ed. I'm going to give myself up. Good morning, Constable.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I want to go to prison.
Oh, do you?
I'm the masked bandit.
Yes, and I'm Harry Stottle.
Well, Mr. Stottle, I've come...
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, well, in that case, we're holding the wrong man. We arrested Slippery Sam last night after we found his fingerprints on a bit of streaky bacon. Now, if you don't mind, I've got my work to do. Just run along with
you. Yes, I'm not the master bandit. That means Dad's taking your money back for nothing.
Oh, by this time, I'll be drunk, so to be. Well, this time, he's just gone too far.
Well, that's the way it was, Ted.
Oh, I see, yeah.
By the time Ed found me, what with buying everybody around, I'd got through 30 quid's worth of brown ale.
Right.
Of course, I had a few nips of short as well.
Remember. Yeah, she was irate then, eh?
Oh, she was irate.
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody irate her. Here, she'd give me the choice of paying the money back, going to prison, or emigrating.
What did you decide?
Well, Ted, I'm going to pay back the 30 quid.
Well, how are you going to do that, then?
Well, Ted, you're going to help.
Oh, not me, I'm
not. No, only in a manner of speaking, Ted, yeah. You see. I rummaged under the bed this morning, and guess what I found?
I can't imagine.
Well, I found at least 30 quid worth of empty brown ale bottles.
And the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved are Professor Jimmy Edwards, Dick Bentley, and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the Polka Dots. Eric Menneman and Barry Took wrote the script. Your announcer was Douglas Smith, and the show is produced by Charles Chilton.